Good afternoon. Pastor Schaefer here. It's Saturday afternoon. Hope everyone is doing well. We're doing well here. I have been talking to several of you throughout the day and keeping in contact. And I wish you would pray for Bonnie right now because she's having to reuse the same mask over and over because of the shortage of masks. Other than that, I really don't know of anyone in our church that is sick. So we just praise God for that. Let's open up our Bibles to Matthew chapter 5 this afternoon. And we'll be looking at verses 13 through 16. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. The Bible says, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father, which is in heaven." Heavenly Father, we pray for your blessing on your word. Help me, Lord, as I explain this. Pray that you would use the word of God in people's lives, and that you would encourage our people. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, as we look at these verses, verse 13 starts out with the word ye. So who is this directed towards? Well, if you back up in chapter 5 to verse 1, it says, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them." So the Lord Jesus here is teaching his disciples, and there are multitudes there as well. And so as he begins to speak, the ye would refer to the nation Israel, refer to the Jews, especially his disciples, as he teaches here in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13. By the way, it's the Lord Jesus who is speaking here. And this is part of the Sermon on the Mount. And so Jesus is saying, "Ye, Israel, Jews, this is what you are. You are the salt of the earth." Now, in the Bible, salt was used as a preservative and as a disinfectant in Old Testament times. Back in those days, they had no refrigeration. And so one way to preserve meat would be to salt it so that it wouldn't go bad. And even today, salt is used as a disinfectant. I know when I was sick a few weeks ago, one of the things I was told to do by the doctor was to gargle with salt water. And that would kill germs in my throat. So even now it has a use. And there are times when we would use it in that way as a disinfectant. So it's used as a preservative, or was used as a preservative in Bible days and as a disinfectant. And it says here about these Jews, about Israel, "Ye are the salt of the earth." So the whole world, the nation Israel is God's instrument, his witness on earth, the nation Israel, at the time when he's speaking this. This is before the cross. They're the ones who had the word of God. Hold your finger here. Turn to Romans chapter 3 and verse 2. Romans 3:2 for a moment. Romans chapter 3 and verse 2. The Bible says about the Jews, we'll pick it up in verse 1. "What advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God." So the Jews were the ones who produced the Old Testament scriptures. And so that's one of the things about the Jews. As God's witness on earth, his nation, his representative on earth, they were the ones who produced the Old Testament. Also, they were the ones that the Lord Jesus Christ, the line of Christ was from the Jews. And he was Jewish. So there's another thing. And And also, they were the ones who had the promises of Abraham. They're the ones that the Old Testament law was directed to. And so you think of these different aspects of the Jews, and that's why Jesus is telling them, ye are the salt of the earth. This is what you're supposed to be. You're supposed to be the preservative, the disinfectant on the earth as a nation. He goes on to say here in verse 13, but if the salt has lost its savor, if it's no longer potent, if it no longer has any strength, wherewith shall it be salted? How are you going to salt the earth with salt that has no potency, he's saying. And what he's saying here is the nation Israel had lost their potency. They had apostatized from the Word of God. And as a nation, they even rejected the Lord Jesus Christ as a nation. And so what use could they be, he's saying. And so he says further on in verse 13, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. And so in Old Testament times, they would take salt that had lost its potency. They would use it for fertilizer. They'd put dung down on the field, and then they would put salt on there that had no more potency. That's what they would do with it. And that's why it's talking about being cast out and trodden under the foot of men. And so he's saying to the nation Israel, you're supposed to be the salt of the earth, but actually you're like useless salt that has no potency that we would just throw on the dung pile. That's what you are, Israel. So what a statement he's making about them. Then he goes on in verse 14, again, he says, ye are the light of the world. That's what you're supposed to be. You're supposed to be the light of the world, the Jewish nation. They were supposed to be God's witness on earth in the Old Testament. And it actually tells us that. Hold your finger here. Turn back to Isaiah chapter 43 in your Old Testament. Isaiah 43. Isaiah chapter 43. And we'll pick it up in verse 10. Isaiah 43 and verse 10. Here's what the Lord Jesus, the prophet Isaiah is saying to the nation Israel. Isaiah 43:10, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, speaking of Israel, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved, and I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. What a statement. So the nation Israel was God's witness on earth in the Old Testament. Now, we know that today, in New Testament times, it's no longer Israel, but now it's the church. Jew and Gentile together in a spiritual body, a spiritual organism called the church. And it says that in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, speaking to the apostles. And then in chapter 2 we have the day of Pentecost. But here's what Jesus says here. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So now the church is God's witness on earth. From Pentecost to the rapture, everyone saved forms the organism called the church. And so back in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, Jesus says, ye are the light of the world. You're supposed to be a light. You're supposed to be my witness in the world. And today, it's the church that's supposed to be the light of the world. He says in verse 14, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. So if you were to build a great city and put it up high on a hill somewhere, you wouldn't be able to hide it too well. Everyone would see it from far off. That's how it should be with the nation Israel. That's how it should be with the church. It should be very evident. People should notice the church, as well as the nation Israel. So a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. And then in verse 15, he says, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel or a basket, so you wouldn't do that, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. So if you were to light a candle, you would certainly put that on a candlestick, not underneath a basket and hide the light. You'd want the light to be very evident, to be able to light up the whole house, as it says. That's a picture of how Israel should have been, and that's a picture of how the church should be. So that brings us to verse 16. We have this command now in light of these truths we've been looking at. Verse 16, let your light so shine. That's a command. Jesus is telling them to shine your light. Let it shine before men. Let it so shine before men. So people see the light of the Lord Jesus. They see the gospel. They see that God is absolutely real. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Good works that are produced by the Holy Spirit in the light life of the believer. Good works. And then glorify your Father which is in heaven. We know that the most important thing to God is that He be glorified. Now, as we think of this coronavirus threat that we're all facing, here we are in our houses, we're really not going anywhere, we're home, and yet we need to let our light shine. How can we shine our light when we're stuck at home in our house? How can we do that? Well, it talks about good works here in verse 16. Well, maybe there's some things we can do. Maybe we can call people on the phone. We have all kinds of technology. We can send emails. We can message. We can FaceTime people and let them know that we're concerned for them, that we're praying for them, and share the gospel with them if we can. And then believers need to be encouraging other believers. So we can do that. We have the technology to do that. Praying with folks, encouraging folks, being a witness to those who aren't saved. Maybe we could send out cards. Maybe help people financially if we're able to, if people need it. Maybe food somehow. Be able to give folks food or help them somehow with shopping or whatever it is. I know it's limited. We can't interact that much with people. But I believe there's some things we can do to let our light shine. So let's try to do that as a church. Let's turn this into something positive. Randy Chauvin yesterday was talking about revival. We certainly hope that will happen. That would be awesome. But in the meantime, we need to be used of God. So let your light shine. Do those good works, as it talks about in verse 16, that God would be glorified. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for this passage. Thank you for the encouragement. Thank you for the command. Thank you for the reminder that we need to let our light shine. Help us not to be like Israel, where they failed miserably at letting their light shine. But I pray today for us as believers in our situation that we wouldn't do that, that we would let our light shine for the glory of God. And Lord, as we are praying, we think of Bonnie, a member of our church who's having to reuse her mask over and over. I pray for your protection, especially on her as a nurse at the hospital in New Britain. Just protect her, Lord. And all of us in the church, Lord, I pray for your protection. But at the same time, help us to let our light shine, to be an encouragement to other people. Lord, we have an opportunity like we've never had to be an encouragement. Today, Lord, you know I was down at the marina and I was keeping my distance, but talking to the staff down there, and they are discouraged. You can see it all over their faces. They're concerned. They're worried. And we can't be that way. We need to be encouraging. We need to point them to Jesus Christ. We ask it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God bless you. I'll talk to you again tomorrow. I'm going to have a much longer message because it's Sunday. So I trust that you'll have a great rest of the day and that you will let your light shine. God bless you. Goodbye.